Hello and welcome to PopCast, Pop Culture with Attitude. This is your host, Dave Snell Howarth, fantasy author of the Defenders of Prowley series and many other great books. Just a slight warning, if you hear like a fan going off, you know, in the background, kind of ignore it. It's California at times, it's really strange weather, you know, you get... even though it's raining, it's still very hot. You know, the cloud cover seems to keep all the heat in, you know. So I'm like burning up. I'm like sitting in the studio and it's like burning up. I'm like on fire. Before I get started, we know it's 10 p.m. Pacific time. That's when we're live. 1 a.m. Sunday morning Eastern time. And of course, 10 p.m. Saturday. And I know this event has already taken place, but you know, Vulture Smile, they're playing tonight at this time, 10 o'clock. No, I'm sorry, 9 o'clock. So they already basically played, but at Caravan Lounge. So they're playing with another group. So they might start, you know, around this time, around 10 p.m. So if you're in San Jose, stop by the Caravan Lounge and listen to them play. You know, I think it was a couple of shows ago, I actually played a lot of their music, Vulture Smile. So you can check them out live. It's free. Great drinks on hand. I'm just sorry I couldn't go. I would have gone. So Vulture Smile, if you're listening to this on a download, I apologize for not going. I really wanted to go, but the thing is, I have to do my show. So if you ever have a show, you know, it's not on a Saturday night or something, I'll come out there and maybe we'll do live interviews of you guys. But I apologize, I couldn't make it. But for those of you in San Jose, California, if you can get out to the Caravan Lounge, go ahead and pay them a visit. Check it out. With that being said, a lot has happened this week. You know, I'm sure that's in everyone's life. Things happen. But I want to mention that today's show is sponsored by Access Mail Plus for all your business services. USPS, FedEx, DHL, Access Mail Plus, located at 3043 Meridian Avenue, San Jose, California. Phone number 408-978-7509. And you can also reach them at accessmailplus@yahoo.com. So it's the holiday season. You need to get out those mailers. You need to get out those Christmas cards. You need packages. Access Mail Plus in San Jose. So with that being said, I'm glad to be on the air again. This is show number 13, so should I be superstitious? You know what I mean? Some great news. As you know, I'm going to be heading out to Gallifrey 1. I'm doing an appearance there. But I'm also meeting a lot of the actors from Doctor Who, so I'm hoping to interview them and be able to get them on the show. I think a lot of you who enjoy Doctor Who will enjoy the interviews. And we'll try to do those live. And that's not until February. And then I will be heading out to an event in London in March. And I'll be meeting Tom Baker, who played the Fourth Doctor. And I'll also be meeting Peter Davison, who played the Fifth Doctor. So maybe I can try to get some interviews with them. That'll be hard. That'll be difficult. But I'm meeting them. I'll get some photos with them, of course. Autographs, what have you, you know, for the kiddies. Maybe they can say a few words for the show. So that's some good news there. I'm not going there to appear. I'm going there just as personal. You know, because the only way you can meet Tom Baker is to go to England. He doesn't leave England, so to see him to get his autograph, you actually had to travel to England. So that's not my main mission to go to England. I got family there, and I need to visit them. But seeing Tom Baker is a plus, right? So I want to start the show with, you know, there's a lot of critics. You know, 2014 is coming to an end, and there are so many, like, top 10 of 2014 and what have you. You know, and we'll have a couple tonight. But, you know, talk about the look at the best and worst movies of this year. And this is on a critic standpoint, what the critics found were the best. So they're pretty much the best reviewed movies of the year. But I come with a major disagreement. I'll just go to the top five. The fifth best rated movie was a movie called Life Itself, if you had seen that. Number four was Citizen Four. Birdman was number three. I haven't heard Birdman. Haven't seen it. I heard a lot of great things about it, but I just haven't seen it. My opinion of Birdman is like Harvey, you know, Attorney at Law Birdman, or the old Birdman cartoons from the 60s. So this didn't interest me at all. I was hoping it would be the cartoon Birdman. And if someone has more information on this movie, just email me the info. Number two is Whiplash. Never heard of that movie. And the best rated movie of the year is a movie called Boyhood, which I've never seen. Now you want to go with the worst movies. We'll just go through the top five worst. Number five was No Good Deed. If you had seen that, that was horrible. You wasted your money. Tyler Perry's The Single Mom. I don't know anyone who's ever seen a Tyler Perry movie. I find it difficult to get through 5 minutes of his movies. But it was one of the worst, and I can understand why. Number three was Vampire Academy. Even though Vampire Academy came around before this show was conceived, I remember being in the theater and Vampire Academy came on, and I was laughing my ass off. It was so hilarious. I can't believe they would make a movie out of those books. The books were horrible. The movies were worse. The horrible movie. So that made sense. So I thought that would be number one. Number two was Walk of Shame. So the title in itself kind of explains the movie and the ratings. And the worst movie of 2014 was a movie called Mom's Night Out. I haven't seen it. I try to only go to see good movies. I'm very picky with my movies. So far, my movie of the year has been Interstellar, which I don't even know if it even made... it made the list, but it wasn't near the top 10. But I thought it was the best movie of the year. And then I'm going to go be seeing The Hobbit, the third installment. That, you know, that looks to be very good. I'm a mega J.R.R. Tolkien fan. I've read most of his stuff. But when I see The Hobbit movies, I don't consider it Tolkien. It has nothing to do with the books. The Hobbit movies have nothing to do with the books at all. The characters aren't even in the books. I mean, it's just nonsense. So when I go to see The Hobbit, you know, in theaters, I completely divorce myself from the Tolkien book, and I just see it as a Peter Jackson production. If you're going to watch The Hobbit and then go read The Hobbit, it's not even the same ballpark. And the book The Hobbit is much better than the movies. But isn't it usually how it is? The books are always better than the movies. But no, it's not even the same. It's not even related. To me, that's how I feel. And I'm very strong with, you know, Tolkien and his vision of fantasy. That's why I write. It's very similar to Tolkien. And I think in the 21st century, we need to revert back to traditional fantasy books. The crap that's out now, Game of Thrones, you know, the fantasy smut that's out there. That's nonsense. That's not real fantasy. That's not real storytelling. You know, and for those people who enjoy that, roll your eyes and ho-hum all you want. I don't care, but it's not real fantasy. You want real fantasy, Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, Robert Jordan, some most recent stuff. Good stuff. But the fantasy smut, it's got to stop. Those are usually for desperate people who can't get laid, to put it bluntly. So, with that being said, I'd like to discuss, you know, my top comic books, in my opinion, for 2014. 2014 was an interesting year. In 2013, in pretty much most of my life, I was a Marvel fanboy. So, you know, 2013, I was spending $50 a week on Marvel comic books. And then a strange thing happened. In 2014, I became enthralled with indie comics. You know, I first started with Zenoscope Publishing, which I don't know if you can consider that indie comics now, because they're to me, I consider them a big publisher. But, you know, going and doing my appearances at comic book conventions, I met a lot of indie artists and writers, and I read a lot of their stuff. And I enjoyed it. So basically my $50 a week on Marvel Comics literally went down to $10 a month. And Marvel lost a lot of money. And it kind of came at an interesting time, because I got my interest in indie comics, but then Marvel was also destroying itself from within, trying to brainwash the public with their own political agenda, and you know, trying to brainwash the comic book reader into accepting certain religions that are against Western culture. You know, so it's kind of interesting that you put these religions who, if they captured Marvel writers, would behead them. You know what I mean? You can't force feed a political agenda on comic book readers. You know, save the politics and the religion for outside the entertainment industry. People read comic books to be entertained, to be taken away from the real world, not to be reminded about the real world. So I got out of Marvel pretty much. The only Marvel I'm reading now is the all-new Invaders. So my top five comic books or comic series for 2014 is, as I mentioned here. Let me get another Bass Ale. Number five is Crusader, Agent of the Vatican. That is a tremendous book. It's fantastic. We had the writer Omar Morales on the show. He was the first guest on our show. This is an amazing comic book. One of the most amazing comic books you're going to read. And you can get Crusader, Agent of the Vatican, at Comixology. You can download it right now. So I advise that. As you're listening to the show, go to Comixology, download that book. You're not going to be disappointed. If you are, send me a message and tell me why, because I'll refute you on that. Number four is Helsing by Zenoscope. Helsing was the first time the Helsing character in the Zenoscope universe had a miniseries. It was done very well. You know, it's very much, you know, like it is, Helsing, very much fighting vampires and what have you. Very enjoyable book. The characters that Zenoscope create are just very lovable characters, most of them female. And the publishing is great. The publishers are great because they have a lot of female characters, and it gets females into reading comic books. And I think that's important. I think Zenoscope caters to female readers and horny old men. And if you look at Zenoscope covers, you'll know why. Number three, my comic book series of 2014, number three, is a surpriser. It's another Zenoscope title. The title is Masumi. Masumi is a amazing character, very attractive. This was her first miniseries also. And every page was enthralling. The writing was very good. The artwork was some of the best I've seen in comic books. If you haven't read Grim Fairy Tales 85, pick that up and check it out. Masumi is in that book. This was a great series that when it ended with book four, I wanted more. I wanted an ongoing series. So, Zenoscope, if you're listening to this, Masumi needs an ongoing series. My number two, this is no surprise, another Zenoscope title, Robin Hood, the ongoing series. Now, granted, I did bash issues 1, 2, and 3. They were some of the worst I've ever read in Robin Hood. But you know what? It came back. Issue number 4 is some of the best Robin Hood stuff I've ever read. So, if you want to start off on the series, I'd say start off on number 4. But Robin Hood, the character, she's a very complex character. She's a character that you can relate to. You know, she's got a great personality, a very edgy attitude. You know, the type of character you could just love to root for. And almost like Spider-Man with his quips. You know, always something interesting to say during battle. Robin Hood is my number one character for Zenoscope as well. Number one is going to be a surprise. And this is the number one for 2014, the best comic book of the year, is the miniseries Revolutionary War. Revolutionary War is done by Marvel. Yes, I bash Marvel, but this was the best book of the year. Revolutionary War took all the Marvel UK, United Kingdom characters and put them in a miniseries. That means Captain Britain, Death's Head, you know, those characters. They put them in a miniseries. And it was the best book Marvel had come out in 2014. One bad thing about Marvel is they like to do these giant epic crossover series. And believe it or not, many fans have told me that has turned them off to Marvel. And that's why they don't read Marvel anymore. Marvel needs to get back to basic comic book writing, basic comic book strategies, old school. You know, and that's what Zenoscope does. They don't do a lot of giant crossovers. They do some crossovers from time to time. You know, Realm Wars, things like that. But they haven't gone as big like Infinity that Marvel does. You know, what's the other one? Civil War, things like that. So the crossovers, I think, are dying. People don't want crossovers anymore. So those are my top comic books for 2014. So pick up the number one in comic of the year, Revolutionary War miniseries. Pick that up. Pick up the ongoing Robin Hood series. Pick up the miniseries Masumi. Pick up the miniseries Helsing, and pick up Crusader, Agent of the Vatican. All these that I mentioned, they're all miniseries except for the Robin Hood. Robin Hood is the only ongoing series. So you can pick these up and read them in a day and just put them in your bookcase and love them. You're not going to go wrong with these at all. Enjoy them and let me know. Put your opinions on my Facebook page. Popcast with David Snell Howarth, Pop Culture with Attitude. Put your opinions of what you think of my opinions on the Facebook page. It'd be interesting to you know, see what you think of that. With that being said, you know, there's something I did. I've talked about Riff Trax in the past. Riff Trax is very near and dear to my heart. I love Riff Trax. Every so often they'll do like a live event. It'll be they do it, I think, in Kentucky or Tennessee. And it's live. But what they do is it gets simulcasted through theaters all over the United States. And everyone watches it live together. And I love those events. This year, they did Santa Claus, which they did before on Mystery Science Theater. And then Riff Trax decided to do it again, you know, with Riff Trax. And it was fantastic. And here is kind of a trailer of it.
And who better than the stars of Mystery Science Theater 3000? It's Riff Trax Live. Join the guys as they rip the 1959 film Santa Claus, the classic tale of Santa, his reindeer, Merlin, and the devil.
Oh, I am not going back to that spray tan place again.
Santa needs a little potion to help get him through the long night.
Congressman, please.
Yeah, bring on the hate mail. It only makes Santa stronger.
Live in select cinemas, Thursday, December 4th only. Tickets on sale now at fathomevents.com.
All right. I know you can't tell much with that trailer, but I went to the event. It was great. It was a great event. But what was interesting about it was that there wasn't hardly anyone in the theater, which was interesting to me. Usually it is like it's sold out. You can't get in there. I mean, it literally, it's like, I don't know, the biggest theater, AMC theater, whatever, Megaplex theater you go into, the biggest screen. How many people is that fill? A couple of hundred, maybe, whatever it is. There was like 25 people for this event. I was like, what happened? I got there like an hour early, and I was like, what happened? So I figured that because they changed the time to 8 p.m., instead of 7 like it usually is, and you know, it was a Thursday night, so a lot of people Christmas time, you know, they're doing you know, they're shopping and what have you, and but the great thing for me about it is, you know, you can relax, you can you can put up your feet, put up your legs, and enjoy it. The movie itself was hilarious. It was funny. So go to rifftrax.com. You know, they, I'm sure it'll be released out on DVD soon, but they have other titles that you can check out. One great thing about Riff Trax is once you go to the movie, they have like, jokes, like clips they put up, you know, as you're sitting there waiting for the movie, you know, and it plays like crazy Christmas music. And then they come up with things like, you know, email us now and get like special prizes. And they were doing that, you know, before the movie started, the event. And Bill Corbett gave out his graphic novel for free, downloadable. If you were at the show, you got discounts on DVDs, things like this, which you can do through your device as you're sitting there waiting for the movie. And I thought it was great. I thought that was a great idea, a great marketing tool. And I took advantage of all those. I got a couple of movies. You know, the graphic novel. So I was obviously the person they were targeting for that. But Riff Trax's Christmas special this year is Santa Claus. And check it out when it comes out on DVD. And just check out Riff Trax in general. You know, you can't go wrong with it. Now, you know, we used to talk a lot about Doctor Who. And the show's over now. Season's over. We did a lot of talking about Downton Abbey. That show's over until the Christmas special. And then they show it in America in January. But if you're a savvy American, you've seen it online or something. You know what I mean? Why wait for PBS to carry it when you already know what's going on if you see it online, right? And online, it's free, it's great, no problems. So I want to talk about another show. Let's see if this theme song will get you. I don't know if many people are familiar with that music at all, but it's a show that played from 2007 to 2012, and I was just scrolling through Netflix one day, and I saw Californication, and I didn't really know what it was about, so, you know, I kind of checked the description. It talked about how it was about a writer in Los Angeles, blah, 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 David Duchovny. And I said, you know, I'm a writer. I'm going to check this out. And I watched the show. I love the show. It's great. And it reminded me a lot about my life as a writer, even though the character is an alcoholic and a smoker. Those are two things I'm not. But pretty much everything in that show is basically true for a lot of writers, and it really emulated a lot with my life at the time, you know, a few years ago, before I settled down. And it's a great show. So Californication, if you guys haven't seen it, I would say, you know, check it out. This is with David Duchovny. I think the best episode for me was the first episode where he's like with Bill's daughter, and he doesn't know. You know how old she is, but that girl is extremely hot. Even though she plays an underage girl in the show, she's actually over 18 in real life, right? So great show. Check it out. I've gone through the first 8 episodes, and I'll be going through the rest, so maybe I'll do some more talk about the show, and maybe, you know, do some reviews on the show. So far, issue 1 through 8 have been fantastic, but it's obviously not for children. It's for adults only. So Californication, check that out. I highly recommend it. Well, it's nice to have those musical interludes anyway, because, you know, sitting here talking, you know, you have to get a drink here, drink there, and Well, sometimes it's, you know, it's different. You know, this show is done by one guy, me. Most shows are done by two, three, or four guys. So, a lot of times, most of them don't have to sit there and talk and discuss things. You know, the hardest thing doing a show is being a one-man show. And a lot of people say, oh, Dave, just put on more guests. Or bring your kids in here, you know, like I do sometimes. That's fine and dandy, but, you know, guests, they could be a pain in the ass sometimes. And so far, the guests that I've had have been great. But it's just, you know, doing the interview, setting up equipment, all of that is a pain in the ass. I'd rather not have guests. You know, there was a time I was putting on a lot of guests, and I thought it was great. But then, not so great. Especially around the holidays. I just want to kind of get up and just talk. Just do the show. You know, like I've said, you know, it's like you and me, us, at a pub. You know, just talking pop culture. You know, this show's 10 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning on the East Coast for a reason. It's so you can lay in bed, relax, and listen about pop culture and latest and trends. Very much like Coast to Coast on the radio, how that show's a late night show for people who enjoy listening to radio late at night. And this is what this show caters to. I think late night radio is fantastic, and the best audiences come out late at night. You know, most of my radio listening is late at night, just laying in bed. You know, I know if you're in your 20s, 10 p.m. is not considered late at night. But for me, it's late at night. One thing that's interesting, you know, we talk about top 10, you know, top 10 this, top 10 that near the end of the year. But do you ever talk about top 10, like 10 comic book heroes who could theoretically exist, you know? You know, with superheroes the way they are now, could they exist? Excuse me. You know, comic books like Watchmen and Kick-Ass, they ask, what would happen if superheroes existed in the real world? Watchmen suggested we'd get sociopaths, right? Kick-Ass said they'd be weirdos who walk the line between Neighborhood Watch and Vigilante. In reality, some people do dress up and patrol streets, you know, occasionally fighting crime. But is it possible for an actual comic book hero to exist in real life? And that's a question. Here are 10 comic book heroes that could exist now or sometime in the future. Some of these examples, you know, they're kind of reaching, and that's inevitable. Otherwise, we'd currently have superheroes. So here I want to play this a little bit, this laser cell. I don't know if you can hear that, but I don't think you guys can hear that, but it's an interview from CNN about living lasers, human cells, jellyfish create beams of light. And this kind of goes into the Cyclops. You know, Cyclops, one of the leaders of the X-Men, you know, shoots a powerful beam of energy from his eyes. You know, this sounds like pure science fiction. You know, however, a pair of these physicists at Massachusetts General Hospital have altered human cells so they can emit light of their own. That's interesting. The team altered human kidney cells to produce green fluorescent protein that makes jellyfish glow. The illuminated cells are easier to track, which has implications, you know, for cancer treatment. The researcher said that this could lead to people shooting beams out of their eyes, which is interesting. But sadly, it would probably be more like a jellyfish than a death ray, right? So number 10 would be Cyclops. Number 9, Swamp Thing. Think about that. You know, Alec Holland was a scientist secretly working in the marshes when a bomb in his lab detonated. Instead of killing him, the blast turned him into, you know, Swamp Thing, half plant and half man hybrid. He has super strength and the ability to communicate with plants while communicating with vegetation and getting super strength from plants may not be possible. One thing that is theoretically possible is having a human-plant hybrid, specifically humans getting energy from the sun, you know, via photosynthesis. You know, most animals, including humans, do not use photosynthesis to get energy. However, scientists have recently discovered a small group of animals that do. Such animals include the pea aphid and the oriental hornet. The only vertebrae to use photosynthesis is the spotted salamander. Well, that's, you know, which is very interesting. And in 2011, a synthetic biologist from the University of California actually injected the embryos of zebrafish with photosynthetic bacteria. Though the fish didn't start photosynthesizing, they accepted the bacteria as the animals developed. This gives hope to other organisms, even humans, perhaps one day accepting such bacteria and using them. However, humans would still need leaves or such similar organ to maximize how much energy they get from the sun. To absorb solar energy, whether as a plant or using solar panels, you need a large flat surface, right? Humans simply aren't shaped that way. So while it is theoretically possible to become more plant-like, it would be a terrible superpower to have. Can you imagine that? You know, if you know these environmentalists, I'll become a plant, you know, like Groot or something, right? Excuse me. You know, everyone who wants to be Captain America, right, at some point. when in World 2 broke out, Steve Rogers, he wanted to fight Nazis. You know, he became Captain America. You know, we know that whole story. It's not actually possible to grow taller through drugs, as Steve Rogers did. Bones simply cannot grow like that. However, it is possible to become taller through painful surgery. Doctors break the bones and implant telescopic rods that stretch the bones apart. At the rate of, 1 millimeter, excuse me, per day, one man alone managed to grow 15 centimeters, that's what, six inches? After two surgeries. Besides growing taller, Rogers also got much stronger from just one injection, which is possible. A team at the Research Institute of Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio, developed a shot that will increase muscle mass with a single injection. And that's, you know, it's amazing. Excuse me. I had Rocky Road ice cream before the show. The shot uses, excuse me, a virus that codes the protein, which suppresses a gene that stops muscle growth. The project's lead researcher calls myostatin breaks and says the virus he created would simply let up on the breaks. You know, how about Wolverine? Number 7 would be Wolverine, right? You know, we all know the story of Wolverine. And a researcher at Harvard has accidentally come across a gene that could help with rapid regeneration. While doing cancer research, he punched holes in the ears of mice engineered with a gene that renews stem cells. A short time later, the holes in the ears had healed themselves, so he clipped their toes. Soon the toes grew back. The gene may help with rapid regeneration. I mean, even though can you get adamantium claws? You know, is that something you would want? Would you want that, really? Is it fictional? However, researchers are developing increasingly strong metals. In 2008, North Carolina State University developed an iron alloy from nanoscale crystals that is stronger than any other alloy, and it maintains its shape at a very high temperature. Finally, if you think about this, retractable internal claws may be hard to create. However, people like YouTube host Colin Furze have had some fun making their own external claws. Well, yeah, I would like to see that done. And number six was Spider-Man. You know, and it goes in more and more, and you know, and how people could become Spider-Man through science. Groot, you know, the one thing Groot does is that no real plant animal hybrid it could walk or move quickly. Plants do move, you know, like when they grow towards sunlight, but because the way their cells are structured, they simply can't form muscles, right? So once again, it's like, can someone become plant-like, you know? So, you know, that's interesting. And then Aquaman, can you become Aquaman? You know, can you become a cyborg? You know, Iron Man. Batman would be the easiest one that you could be. But if you're interested in this subject matter, you can go to listverse.com, 10 comic book heroes who could theoretically exist. You can check that out. It's all about science, though. You know, can you become superheroes through science? I think, you know, that's as close as you're going to get, which isn't really going to help you in life anyway. So it's better just to dress up in cosplay and go to the convention and be a superhero for the day. Or if you want to be a real superhero, then, you know, walk an old lady across the street. That's a hero. You know, take care of your kids. That's being a hero. Kids, you want to be a hero? Do all your homework and don't end up in jail. That's a hero. So with that, you know, we talk about Christmas. Christmas is coming up, and we're going to be doing Christmas music after the show. I actually should have started it last show, but we're going to start it today, and at the end of the show, we'll have Christmas music, and up until the new year. But people's main concerns, a lot of times, are toys. You know, what are the best hot toys to get kids? For my kids, they're teenagers, and they're a pain in the ass. They all want electronics, usually. But here's some, you know, for little kids. And this is Toys R Us's fabulous 15 toys. And these are the hottest toys to get children. This toy, Doc McStuffins Get Better Talking Mobile, is a toy that is great for kids for Christmas. But I would say it's between the ages of toddler, like 4 to 8 years old, is good. A toy that's a little bit for older kids, maybe from like 8 to 14, is Skylanders Trap Team Starter Pack. Skylanders Trap Team Starter Pack. That's a very hot toy. A toy for kids who are just getting into kind of like Legos, but they're not old enough for Legos. Toys R Us recommends the Supernova Battle Rover. You know, boy, my kids are teenagers, and I kind of miss buying these kind of cool little toys for kids. These, you know, for the little kids. You know, when they become teenagers, you don't buy the cutesy toys anymore, and that's what I miss. You know, I don't want to have more kids just to buy more toys, though. Another hot toy is Toys R Us, their exclusive Lego Fusion Town Master. That's good for kids. Those are good for teenagers. You know, 7, 12 years old, teenagers play Legos too. Leapfrog Leap TV active video game system. Those are for, you know, smaller kids, 4 to 10, I would say. And then the exclusive at Toys R Us, Little Live Pets Birdcage with 2 birds. I have 2 birds. I love 2 birds. But with these toy birds, hey, you don't have to clean up a mess. and they're great for kids. They learn how to love birds, take care of birds. So I would recommend that for little kids. The next is the Hot Wheels Street Hawk. Hot Wheels Street Hawk RC flying car. I think that could be for any kid. I think I might even like that. whoops. Something fell on the studio floor here. Sorry. Onyx Zoomer Dino with tin storage case. I heard that was very hot. I've even seen that on some TV shows. Mutant Mania Mutant Masher. It's like a truck. That seems to be like for boys 5 to 4 to 8. Max Tow Truck. That seems to be about the same age. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Stretch and Shout Leonardo. So it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Stretch and Shout Leonardo. Some of these titles, they're just like tongue twisters. Disney Frozen Snow Glow Elsa. Those are for, I think, little girls. You know, little boys too. I mean, just because you're a boy doesn't mean you can't get a Frozen Elsa. You know, or just because you're a girl doesn't mean you can't get a truck. You know, if they like it, get it for them. Does it matter, really? The next toy, Transformers Stomp and Chop Grimlock. That's pretty cool. I love Transformers, not the movies. The movies suck, but the old 80s cartoon and the toys are cool. Charmazing Color Me Up Collection. That seems to be for preteen girls, where they can make charms, for necklaces and wrist charms, and that's pretty cool. And this is for younger than preteen. This next one, For Real Friends Get Up and Go Go My Walking Pup. Where do people come up with these titles? For Real. I haven't heard For Real since like Valley Girl days. So that's interesting. That is the top toys that Toys R Us recommends for Christmas 2014. For my teenagers, I don't know what I'm going to get them. They want iPods, the fancy ones. They want electronics. They want, Visa cards. I mean, what do you do? You know, but for those toys for younger kids, those are great. So look for those on Christmas lists. And the secret is to make every kid happy for Christmas and remind them that Christmas is not about toys, it's about the birth of Jesus, right? And give to Toys R Tots, give a little something to Toys R Tots, help the kids out there who may not have a good Christmas. Every kid deserves a good Christmas no matter what. So if everyone comes together, do their best, it'll be great, right? So I want to do my comiXology recommendations. And I might do this weekly, I don't know. ComiXology, since my tablet is like the greatest invention to me. I love all the digital comic books. My only problem is if ComiXology ever goes out of business, what happens to my comic books? Right? So my ComiXology pick of the week, and I don't know if you can still get it on sale. I picked it up. The title is called Jungle Girl, but I got the Jungle Girl Omnibus. It was only $4.99, written by Doug Murray, art by Andriano Battista. This collection features issues 0 through 5 of the acclaimed miniseries Jungle Girl by Frank Cho, Doug Murray, as I mentioned, and Adriana Battista. Issues 1 through 5 of the hit sequel, Jungle Girl Season 2, and a complete cover gallery featuring the art of Frank Cho and Adriano Battista. This is a great book. I recommend this for readers. It's kind of like a Tarzan type thing. The stories are great. The artwork's fantastic. Doug Murray did Red Sonja. He did the Nam. Frank Cho did the Mighty Avengers. You know, Adriano Battista, you know, he did Red Sonja as well. And Jennifer Blood. This is a highly recommended book on ComiXology. is $4.99 for an omnibus. Where are you going to find an omnibus for $4.99, right? So I highly recommend picking that up when you can. Another thing I want to talk about is, you know, CampbellCon is a convention. CampbellCon happening November 7th of 2015. And they're going to have a lot of guests from Star Wars, artists, you name it. A lot of people are going to be there. A lot of great things, a lot of great activities. But one exhibitor that's going to be there is Herring and Robinson. And what Herring Robinson does is they do comic book binding. And what comic book binding is, for example, say you take a run of a series, say Captain America, the series that just ended. And what you do is you take those comics, you cut out the advertising, you compile them together, you take them to Herring and Robinson, and they create a custom hardbound omnibus book for you. The way you like it, your coloring, your titles, everything. Everything is custom. They're going to be at CampbellCon, and I put them up on the Facebook page because it is a new hobby with comic collectors that have been going on, I'd say, for the last 4 years, and it's really starting to pick up steam. It's a new way to collect and read comic books. You know, when I was growing up as a kid in the 70s and 80s, you'd pick up a comic book and be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be worth hundreds of dollars. You got to keep it in pristine condition. Well, back then, they only made like 10,000 issues of one issue, you know, or a lot of times you pick them up at the newsstand. Nowadays, you know, they make so many of the title, they're worthless. They'll end up in dollar bins. Any comic book that's out today will never be worth more than $5. Guaranteed. Even 100 years from now, it's not going to be worth more than $5. So who cares if what you do with the book? So binding them is a new way to enjoy them, read them, and just love to have them in the house. They look very good. If you go to Herring and Robinson, check out their site. Check out how great these books look. They look good on the shelf. Great for your collection. So I just wanted to recommend that because they're going to be at CampbellCon where they're going to be able to take your comic books, place an order for you, and have those books ready for you. With no time at all, and they send you an email, let you know when the books are ready, and they can mail them to you, whatever. Just beautiful books, so check those out. So one thing I want to discuss, last thing, and you know we're getting to the end of the show when we start doing convention talk. And I love convention talk. Probably because I'm the only author ever in world history to do full book tours at conventions. You know, fantasy, sci-fi, comic book conventions, pop culture conventions. I have created that. I still do it. No author has yet to do it. None has been able to follow in my footsteps yet. I'm sure eventually they will, probably not until I die. One thing about writing books in today's world, you have to learn to become a pioneer in something. You have to learn to change the industry in some way, especially with with Barnes & Noble going out of business in a couple of years. You know, Borders is out of business. So that was my pioneering experience, my trailblazing of no more doing book signings at bookstores like I was doing before, but doing them strictly at conventions. You know, so I have a passion for comic book conventions. With that being said, I would like to discuss some comic book conventions that are coming up. Now, don't forget, CampbellCon, November 7th, 2015. Get your tickets. What's so great about CampbellCon now is they have a tab on their Facebook page. You press the tab, you buy the ticket. Tickets right there on Facebook. It's so easy. It's great. And don't forget Grape City Con coming up in Lodi. They're affiliated with Stockton Con. Go to StocktonCon.com and get more information. Salinas Valley Comic Con is coming. in February as well. On that same weekend is Grape City Con, so check them both out for whatever area you live in. This weekend, though, we want to talk about this weekend and when it's happening, where it's happening. If you live in Tennessee, Anime Convention at YamaCon. This is today, December 5th through the 7th. Or no, today's the 6th, I'm sorry. YamaCon is at La Conta Center at Pigeon Forge, Pigeon Forge, USA, located in Tennessee. Then you have Comic Book Convention at Steel City Con. That's in Pennsylvania. Monroeville Convention Center in Monroeville. So that's this weekend. You know, collectible convention, Northeast Comic Con, and Collectible Extravaganza this weekend in Massachusetts at the Shriners Auditorium in Wellington, USA. And then we have Comic Book Convention at CBC Comic Book and Toy Show this weekend, located in Florida at Holiday Inn Daytona Beach, Daytona Beach, USA. And then we have a Comic Book Convention at New York Winter Comic and Sci-Fi Expo, located in New York. It's at Resorts World Casino, New York City, Jamaica, USA. That's interesting. And then we have Comic Book Convention this weekend at Lehigh Valley Comic Con. It's one day only, Saturday. So if you're in Pennsylvania, this is the one to go to, the one-day convention, because everything's going to be packed all in one day, right? So, excuse me, Lehigh Valley Comic Con is at Schnecksville Fire Hall, 4550 Old Packhouse Road in Schnecksville, USA, in Pennsylvania. So definitely go to that. And tomorrow is YamaCon. It's still going on Sunday. Excuse me, Steel City, it's a two-day con. The Collectibles Extravaganza is a two-day. The CBC I mentioned before is a two-day. New York is a two-day con. Collectibles Convention at Awesome Toy Collector Show, Houston Marriott Energy Corridor, that's in Texas. The toy show is at Houston Marriott Energy Corridor. That's in Houston. You check that out if you're in the Houston area. Collectible Convention at Phoenix City Toy and Comic Book Show this Sunday in Alabama. It's at Phoenix City Activity Center, Phoenix City, USA. And then you have a Collectible Convention at Wayne, New Jersey Toy and Collectible Show this Sunday, tomorrow, in New Jersey at Wayne Fire Department Community Company Number 1 in Wayne, USA. It's at 97 Parish Drive. So you can check that out. That sounds like a lot of fun. And then you have a one-day comic book convention at Capital Trade Shows Sports Cards and Comic Book Show. This is in Canada, so for all you in Canada, there's stuff out there. Capital Trade Shows Sports Cards and Comics, City of Ottawa. So all you Senator fans out there, get out to the Jim Durrell Recreation Center in Ottawa, Canada, and check out that convention. And then we have Comic Book Convention at the Claremont Packing House, Comic Book and Collectible Show. This is in California. Oh, I didn't hear about this. It's Sunday only at the Claremont Packing House, Comic Book Collectible Show, Claremont Packing House, Claremont, USA. So you can check out that. And those are the shows for this weekend. So if you're in those areas and you need something to do, check out those shows. And don't forget, you know, CampbellCon. You can never forget CampbellCon. So get your tickets today on Facebook or at CampbellCon.com. With that being said, thank you for listening to the show. I love just being able to be here and talk to everybody, and hopefully you get some good information out of the show. If you have any questions, if there's anything you'd like to see on the show, any interviews you'd like to have on the show, if you're a comic book writer or artist and want to be on the show, drop me a line. This is the number one pop culture show on the planet. We are heard in 192 countries, and every night people are listening. So it's a great show. Now, like I promised you, I would leave you guys with some Christmas music. This song is my all-time favorite Christmas song. To me, it is the best. It's by Bing Crosby, and Bing Crosby, to me, is the best. And we're going to start off the Christmas season with this song, and the end of the show, we'll do a Christmas song until the new year to get us in the mood for some Christmas, right? And I hope everyone enjoyed, the toys that are coming out, that are good for kids this year, and the top 10 lists and what have you. And hopefully I didn't bore you on that one with scientific information. So with that being said, enjoy a little Bing Crosby with White Christmas.
Just like the ones I used.